Gospel lesson is from Luke. Please stand in body or spirit for the reading of the gospel. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Genesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The word of the Lord.
Pray. Holy and gracious God, we come once again into this place in body or in spirit to hear good news of grace, to encounter you, the Holy One, and to be reminded of your love. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord our God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So last week, as part of our annual celebration, which really felt a little bit more like a meeting without potlucks and storytelling, I mentioned that Padre Gotuma is an Irish poet who has been influencing me this COVID season. He's a storyteller and a theologian, and a lot of his work has centered around creating courageous spaces for conversation and reconciliation in Northern Ireland. In his book, In the Shelter, which is wonderful, I commend it to you, the chapters are framed around the word hello, with titles like Hello to the Beginning, Hello to the body, hello to trouble, hello to power. The word hello becomes a way of being present to or aware of something, of welcoming something in the most holistic sense of that, a way to greet things that we sometimes would rather avoid, hello to challenge, hello to shadow. You get the idea. Well, the first chapter in this book is entitled Hello to Hear. And he talks about how a place to begin, in fact, the only place to begin, is to learn to say hello to where we actually are. Physically, yes, in our bodies, but also in our heads and our hearts, our spirits, our surroundings, our culture. Being able to say hello to hear is a place of beginning. He writes, "To begin where you are may take courage or compromise or painful truth-telling. Whatever it takes, it's wise to begin there. The only place to begin is where I am, and whether by desire or disaster, I am here. My being here is not dependent on my recognition of the fact. I am here anyway, but it might help if I could learn to look around." I share this with you not just because I think he's on to something, but because I really wrestled with our text today. I mean, I love both of these stories. Isaiah with its fantastical vision of six-winged seraphs, lumps of coal, and Simon Peter with the abundance of fish and call. They're wonderful stories of encounter, encountering the holy encountering us. And there are also significant stories of call. They're stories of how these two people were called to serve God and God's kingdom. The trouble, I think, is that because we tend to focus so much on the call aspect of their stories and how they fleshed out that call, you know, major prophet in the tradition and one of the 12 disciples, it's hard for us to see these call stories as relevant to us. Now, that's not really for me. That's for other people, maybe pastors or missionaries, but not me. And to be totally frank with you, I didn't want to preach one of those sermons about how, no, really you. You too. Although, if you do hear that today, that's not inaccurate. You too. And so I reread these stories of encounter, Isaiah and Peter, and I noticed that they both have a similar moment in them, where after realizing that they are in the presence of the holy, they both say something similar. Isaiah says, I am unclean and among unclean people. And Peter says, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. And I suppose it's not all that surprising that when we encounter the holiness of God, the first reaction is to become aware of your otherness, your humanness, your frailty, your shadows for sure. It's something we spend a lot of time and energy and money trying to avoid. But perhaps in the presence of the holy, we finally feel free and safe to look around and held by God's grace, as Padre Gotuma wrote, to begin where we are. And it may take courage or compromise or painful truth-telling. Whatever it takes, it's wise to begin there. The only place to begin is where I am. And whether by desire or disaster, I am here. One of the first moves for Isaiah and Peter in these encounters with God is to name where they really are, to look around, to be honest about themselves, and at least in Isaiah's case, to be honest about their communities, their people. You see, in this moment of holy encounter, they are each summoned into a deeper kind of encounter, a deeper encounter with themselves, with their whole selves. There's something important in the life of discipleship about beginning here, I think. By taking the time to look around, to stand more honestly in our relationship with the divine and ourselves, to first do the courageous and important work of realizing and naming where we are. In so many ways, it is the seedbed of transformation. And if we don't begin here, we run the risk of becoming the enemies of our own growth. Hello to here. I think one of the reasons this is front and center for me, the way these stories begin with Isaiah and Peter naming where they are, is because I've been consumed with our current cultural context, in which it seems we are really working overtime to avoid saying hello to here. We are working really hard to avoid the discomfort that comes from looking around and naming where we are as if we aren't somehow here anyway. And there are probably lots of things that we could fill that reality in with, but for me, the last couple of weeks, it's been the reality that in far too many places in our country right now, books and curriculum that teach our collective history of white supremacy and slavery are being banned. And there are attempts to ban the use of some language to teach about racism because it might be too uncomfortable for white people, as if by avoiding it and not teaching our kids about it, we may not actually be here somehow, where we really are. And it's not just in those places where it's most overt, like the book bans and the legislation around language. It's all those times and places where we avoid naming that which might be uncomfortable, that collectively as a country we are becoming the enemies in so many ways of our own growth. and transformation. As I held all of these stories metaphorically online, as I held all of these stories in the news, alongside these wonderful stories of Isaiah and Peter, I couldn't help but see how the first thing they both do when encountered by the holiness of God, the love and the grace of God, is look around and name aloud their brokenness and their shadows. Hello to here. Celtic Christians call these encounters with God thin places. Thin places are those places in which the veil between you and God is unusually thin and feels particular, and God feels particularly near. A thin place is a mediator of the sacred. John Philip Newell writes this about them: truth abides in thin places, naked, raw, hard to face truth. Yet the comfort, safety, and strength to face that truth also abides there. Thin places captivate our imagination. We become very small, yet we gain connection and become part of something larger than we can perceive. To borrow some of my favorite language from the poet Anna Kamenska, these thin places, these encounters with God, are like patches of wild grace. And yet here's the thing, Isaiah and Peter's stories don't stop there. While they both begin by encountering holy or being encountered by the holy and naming the reality of their brokenness and their capacity for sin, their shadows, to be in God's presence, these stories of encountering the holy, of being in the presence of God, like our own stories, are ultimately about God's grace in the midst of it. And I love how that grace comes differently for each of us. And we see that with Isaiah and Peter. In response to Isaiah's recognition of his unworthiness, a seraph comes down with a lump of coal, hot coal, and puts it on his lips, physically blotting out his guilt, restoring him into right relationship, and inviting him to join with God. The same is true for Peter, although grace is manifested differently, because perhaps we each need to encounter and experience grace in unique and different ways. After naming his penchant to miss the mark, Jesus doesn't pile on and say, "Oh, I know all about that, Peter." Jesus extends an invitation. The next words are, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." You see, in this moment, in this patch of wild grace, Jesus invites Peter to follow just as he is. Some have pointed out that, interestingly, that in the story, Jesus doesn't even offer forgiveness, but instead moves right to invitation. And in that invitation, there is grace, because in it, Jesus communicates that, yes, Peter, you are a sinner. Yes, you are here. All of what you say is true, and also, I want your help. And so bringing all of his here-ness along, Peter follows after Jesus. And he steps into a journey that will change him, that will transform his here-ness. For me, that's perhaps the most surprising part of the story. After hearing Peter confess, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. I need your help. Come on. Let's go." So maybe in the end, despite my best of intentions, this is ultimately a sermon about call. About how each of us are being called. But I think with an emphasis on where it begins, these holy moments of encounter, where that the angel's song reverberates in our hearts, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Maybe it's in some kind of fantastical way, but in my experience, more likely in subtle moments where we still our minds and attune our hearts to the one who is already present. And there in those thin places, those patches of wild grace, we are free to begin. We are free to say hello to here. Thanks be to God. Amen.